Hey everyone, welcome to the Insight Podcast. On today's SiteBite mini episode, Dan and I are super excited to share some of our favorite tech tools. And to kick us off, I thought we'd play a game a little bit like what is in our bag. So I've been watching a lot of everyday carry videos on YouTube, getting ready to travel for work, and they've been filling my feed. So Dan, so I thought it'd be kind of fun for us to go through what's in our bag. So pretending, you know, this is the tech director's, actually not pretending, this is real. This is the tech director's everyday carry. So I'd love to hear what's in your bag. Oh, and before that, like, how are you doing? We just like jumped into the episode. How are things?
Everything's, this time of year is really busy, trying to get those purchases in before the end of the year. Incoming freshmen, things are just it's a flooded time where we're just trying to keep our heads down, keep going, keep moving, and make things happen. So it's fun. It's a fun time of year.
Yeah, I'm getting ready for a big Chromebook order. I've got furniture moving into a campus right now that I stepped away from, so I got to run back there after we're done recording. Yeah, and then I heard fiscal year is closing. We got to get purchase orders in. Yeah, it's good. Spring madness.
It is. All right. Everyday carry. I'm excited when we discuss this topic. This is fun for me too. So I'm excited to jump into it. So
cool. Okay. What's in your bag?
My bag, in my smaller district that I work for, I do a lot of networking as well as IT director. So a lot of my stuff is tool related. Starting off with my bag, I have a Cobalt camo tool backpack. It's a heavy canvas backpack, and it's specifically made for tools, which is awesome. So I could drop my tools in there. There's little compartments for it. And it also has a laptop sleeve that I can put my laptops into. I said laptops, and we'll get on to why I said that.
Can't wait.
What are you carrying around? I see you have some good notes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I have the Air Daypack 2. I spent a lot of time trying to find the right bag because I need something that it doesn't look too shabby when I'm going into cabinet meetings. If I'm running late, I can bring my bag in with me. So I really wanted to find something that had like a good look, but it also was super functional. So yeah, I did a lot of research to find that bag, and then it also travels really well. So it's usually with me at all times. So yeah, the Air Daypack 2 has been phenomenal, and it's small enough that I can fit everything I need into it.
Okay. So mine's a little bit bulkier than that. Mine's a full-on tool backpack. So people are used to seeing me with that. They know if I have that, I'm getting ready to do some business.
Yeah. All right. What's in your bag?
Pretty much an entire Klein network tool set, starting with the shears. Shears are really important. I've seen some people try to use like scissors, like from your desk, which if you're trying to cut Cat 6 cable or any kind of cable, it's crazy. But having a good pair of shears is it'll save you time, and they'll last a long time. So I'll use that. I also have a Fox and Hound if you're doing
networking. What is
that? A Fox and Hound. This is awesome to explain what a Fox and Hound is. So you could send a signal across Cat 6 cable and use an antenna that reads that cable at the other end. So if you're trying to figure out, hey, where is this patched at in my patch panel, you could use a Fox and Hound to get an audible signal on the other side.
Oh, that's nice. I just don't think I've ever heard it called that. That's super cool.
Yeah, that's what I've heard them refer to. I'm sure there's a technical name for it. I've always been told Fox and Hound, so that's what I call it. As far as my other networking tools, pass-through crimpers with pass-through RJ45s. The old-style way of lining up those things perfectly, those network patch cables, and then making them fit underneath that copper. Pass-through crimpers are... Man, they're the way, like what took us so long to figure out to run the wires all the way through and then terminate them at the end? It's so much easier. You could see the wires at the very end. If you have not used these yet, I highly recommend a pass-through crimper. It just saves so much time. And especially after you create a cable, you put it together and then you test it and you see that there's a pair off. You got to go through the whole, which side is wrong? Pass-through pretty much solves all of that. So
that's super cool.
Yeah, definitely the way to go. Punch-down tool. You got to have a punch-down tool. It's pretty much should be in everybody's bag who's in IT. Various screwdrivers. One of them should be a powered screwdriver. I got like 3 powered screwdrivers. I just picked my favorite one for the day.
Nice.
Yeah. Wrenches, crescent wrench. I should say an adjustable wrench. Crescent is the brand. An adjustable wrench is what it is. A precision toolkit for working on electronics, meaning, you know, that little small micro screwdrivers and a plethora of USB flash drives.
Yes.
More than one, because one of them's going to break when you need it. So I always have 3 or 4 in my bag. And another almost as cool to have as those pass-through crimpers is the NetAlley Link Sprinter 300. And what this is super cool. I learned about it just a couple of years ago. You could plug it in at the end where you're working on a desktop computer. You want to check a network connection. You plug it into this NetAlley Link Sprinter, and it'll tell you what switch it's plugged into, the port it's plugged into, and give you diagnostics right from the endpoint and send it to you via email or even on your cell phone. It's tremendous and a lifesaver.
I might be ordering one of those before the episode is over. Thank you.
These are amazing. They're $450 and they're worth
totally
it.
Totally worth it. Yeah.
If you're at an endpoint and you're like, is this network working? Or if you're in older infrastructure and you don't, you can't really trust the patch panel like somebody labeled it 40 years ago, you could plug it in and know where this is on your switch. It is amazing. And then finally, the MacBook Pro, because I want to make things a little bit harder on myself. I'm a Windows guy. I come from a Windows background, but I have a large group of people at my district that use Mac. And so I'm teaching myself how to use a Mac. I'm kind of struggling through it. So I carry two laptops. I carry my MacBook Pro and a Windows device as my backup. I try to do it with the MacBook Pro first. And if I can't, I'll use my failsafe.
That's fantastic. I'm curious, like, how long you're going to carry two laptops. So maybe one day the Mac will win for you. That's great.
Maybe one day. But as you think about it, I might throw a Linux one in there, too, just for funsies.
All right. So I've got some fun things in my bag, too. So I have MacBook Pro 13-inch. I haven't switched over to Apple Silica yet, but that's coming next. It's starting to kind of complain a bit. So it doesn't like when it gets disconnected from my monitors. It likes to pretend it can't wake up. So I think that's a sign. I always have my iPad mini with me and taking notes on it. It's a great little tool to have, really handy. And then I've just switched over to kind of wrangle all of my cables and everything. I found a really cool Peak Design tech pouch. So it has my charging cable and all the adapters you need to have if you use Apple products. So that's all corralled together. I have a Logitech Spotlight clicker. You just never know where you're going to have to do a presentation and need a good clicker. I also feel like I have it if I'm in a presentation and somebody doesn't have a clicker, I can rescue them. So sometimes what's in my bag is like, how can I help others? And that's one of them, because I don't obviously need a clicker every single day. I have an extra USB-C fast charger. So the GaN charger, I have an Anker one. It's just fantastic. I mean, if you forgot to charge something, it gets up to speed super fast. I always like to have some tea with me. I have a first aid kit in there. My Apple AirPod Pros are always with me.
I like how the lemon came before the first aid. The lemon tea came before the first aid.
Yeah, lemon tea first. Yeah, self-care first, right? Then
exactly.
Yeah. Calm down, then fix the wounds. I have AirPod Pros with me because they're lighter, but I prefer my over-ear headphones. Those are usually what I travel with. And then I usually have there's like a whole grip of keys in my bag for all the IDF cabinets and other random tech I've just collected over the year. So that's usually with me. And then I have some good chapstick. My favorite is the Fresh brand Sugar Lip Balm, and I have some Kiehl's lotion. And then lastly, I usually have like 3 to 4 snack bars with me because I'm always hungry. And every bag that I have has some sort of Lego keychain on it. And right now it's a Stormtrooper. So I feel like this is like my go bag. I can live with everything in here no matter where I land. I've got everything with me. And missing from this, I'll add it occasionally, just depends on the weight. I usually have a fix it kit, just like a mini toolkit you talked about. And I have a Klein screwdriver that has like, you know, the multi head so you can swap it out. But I don't usually need those every day. So those just go in occasionally.
That's a good list. I like it. I like how you had self-care and first aid in yours, which are not in my bag. So I got everything to like a punch down tool.
Yeah.
And there's even like this little safety thing you're supposed to use with it, this little plastic piece that you don't punch down into your hand. And I don't know an IT person that doesn't have a punch down tool mark in their palm of their hand because they don't use that little safety thing.
Yeah.
So now I got one of those little safety punch down tool plates in my bag as well. So
smart.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'll have to add a first aid kit because I think that's important.
I took a CPR class last year, kind of got a refresher. So I have the CPR shield. I have gloves. I mean, we have tons of PPE since COVID, so they're pretty easy to make and just something good to have. Randomly, I was in, right after my CPR class, I was in Trader Joe's and a small little toddler started to have a seizure. I happened to had just had the class and was able to help keep the mom calm and just, you know, keep everybody okay till paramedics got there. So yeah, big fan of just keeping your first aid skills up to date, and you just never know where you're going to be and you could help somebody. I think it's in our nature as a tech team, right? We we live to help others. So carries over a little bit.
That's very true. All right. Moving on to our top five.
Yeah. So also part of this episode, we want to share our favorite tools that we use at work. And I have one I use for fun. So I threw one fun one in there, but we could go through like how we get through our day and what our most useful tools are.
Okay. I'll start off with Microsoft's remote desktop. And it's not the one you're thinking about. If you go to the Windows Store, and I know a lot of IT departments have, especially in schools, have tried to disable the Windows Store, but they offer one, Microsoft offers one through there that is always on my computer. What I like it is it's a good graphical interface where I could see all of my servers like on a pane of glass, and I just click on them and log in. You could even make it remember your credentials, but I get kind of crazy about that. I don't want it to. So I'll log into it each time. But it just makes it so easy to see all your servers, jump right into them. You don't have to remember the IP addresses. It's just there and so much easier than the old school one that comes built into Windows. So it makes my life a lot easier. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, that's a super great one. I have access to that as well for a Windows machine that just kind of sits on the desk, kind of like a headless machine. And yeah, super handy when you need some of those actions. That's great. First on my list, this was my fun one. I always try to get out and hike as often as possible. So one of my favorite tools is my Garmin InReach Mini. So that lets me have satellite access to call for help or send text messages and check in with the family so I can go hiking and not worry about getting behind the ranges where I lose cell service. So I always have that charged and with me when I'm out hiking.
That's pretty awesome and unique. My top five would not be complete without the mention of PuTTY. I think everybody knows it. Everybody uses it. If you have to jump into a switch, if you have to jump into a UPS or whatever other device you can only SSH into, PuTTY's just that app that's just the way to go. And I just recently realized, so I always keep my IP addresses or whatever for PuTTY on a separate list. Mm-hmm. Somebody told me you could save it within PuTTY. I was like, all these years, I didn't even know that you could just save it and name it something useful. I was like, oh, okay. So every day I'm learning, and that was one of them. You not only use PuTTY, but you could save your connections within PuTTY.
Maybe you were just being highly, highly secure, right? It was just exactly. That security mindset.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. Okay, my next one, this is a tool that there's probably a lot of solutions for this, but Zeit is a screencasting tool. And what's really great about this one is that you can create a library. So really cool for tech teams. You can make super fast screencasts and then you can add them to emails. You can also track how many people viewed them or watched them. So really handy if you need to make a quick video to describe something. So we're using this in our documentation so we can make quick videos to help people. But sometimes it's faster to make a video than to try to call and walk somebody through it. So I use this when I'm sending out directions to parents, students, staff. So really handy for screencasting. Again, the benefit is the library that you get to have this curation of all the videos that you've made. So really love Zeit.
Do you add those videos to your ticket system? Like is like help files?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be great. I've done that in other districts I work for. That's just have a video. You could just show them, hey, this is easy peasy. How do you fix this simple problem? Because sometimes talking through those instructions, it's a lot harder if you just show them a video how to do it. My other app that I have to have is Google Calendar. I would not know what to do. Now I put almost all the little things in there, right? Because that's the little things are what easily gets forgotten. I'm adding those even to Google Calendar, even lunch breaks. Because if I don't put my lunch break down, guess what? As IT director, I'm working right through it. So I'll even put my lunchtime in there. It's important, like you said, for self-care to remember to take a little. Maybe I don't get the whole hour, but I'll put 15 to 30 minutes. Hey, go get a lunch. And then just keeping track of all the things coming up, especially this time at end of the year. It's got to be in my calendar so I can keep track of it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's so versatile. Like we use it for tracking when contracts are going to end. So I just know to check up on them. We have a calendar just for the tech team where if people are going to be absent, they just add their notes there. So the whole team kind of knows if somebody's out for the day, which is helpful. We put all of the state testing data on there. Yeah. So we do a shared calendar among the team for, you know, need to know dates. But yeah, really good to kind of block out time to make sure you don't get overbooked. One tool on the topic of calendar that I just learned about, shout out to Patrick. I was at the AI K-12 Summit weekend before last and learned about Notion Calendar. So this is amazing. If you love keyboard shortcuts and have a lot of calendars that you manage, Notion is amazing. And one of the things that I'm a big Google Calendar person, but I might be switching over to Notion full time. On a Mac, it adds notifications in your taskbar at the top. So it tells you how many minutes are left in the meeting that you're in or how many minutes until your next meeting. So that's a really nice feature. Like I can look up right now and I'm seeing Inside Podcast, 36 minutes left at the time that we have blocked off for today. Also, if you're ever trying to schedule a meeting and you need to, somebody asks like, when are you available? And you have to like scroll through your calendar and pick the 500 times you're available. In Notion, you can just drag and you pick all the times and then it creates the link that you send to the person and then they book the time. My mind was blown. Like that's going to save me hours a year. So Notion calendar is a fun one to check out. Even if you don't use it full time, there are a few features that are super worth having.
I am definitely going to check it out. I was looking through your list prior to this episode, and I was jazzed when I saw that because, like you said, trying to find times where both people are available, you could waste a lot of time just trying to figure that out. This may save hours. Another item from Google that I really like is Google Keep. And the number one reason it's cross-platform, I could be on my phone. So if I'm in a board meeting and I don't want to pull out my laptop, I could just be like, oh, let me just jot this down right in Google Keep, and it's everywhere, right? So it's must have for me. I got to have my Google Keep. Even for my personal life, we share Google Keep. We have a shopping list for the family. So
excellent.
When we go out, everybody can check it and be like, oh yeah, we need to get this or that. So yeah, I like that you could share those notes with other people, and Google's all about sharing. That's great.
All right. Next for me, this is a rescue tool that I use. This is Shortwave is a email app. So really great. Again, I sometimes have duplicate tools for things just for, I use them when I need them, kind of like a toolkit, right? So Shortwave is an app that is really great for email. And I use it when I get underwater. So what it does is it helps you process your email in about 5 to 10 minutes. If you suddenly just had an avalanche, you could use it all the time, but this is just how I use it. It groups things. So if you've used labels in Gmail, imagine that on steroids, where the AI in Shortwave really starts to learn your habits and like what types of emails come in. So if you have that avalanche that comes in overnight of updates or notifications or whatever it is, you know, spam that you choose, right? Like you want to get notifications for certain companies and you keep thinking one day you'll have time to read them, but it never happens. So you torture yourself every day by keeping those emails in your inbox. Site will group them. And it has really good features like you can snooze and have it, you know, Gmail has this too, but you can snooze a group and it'll come back to you the next day. You can batch archive, so it'll group everything together. And then you can also pin things. So you can quickly go through all your email and kind of manage everything, sort it into the ones you need to respond to, get rid of the ones that you don't need. So again, Shortwave is a really fun email tool that I encourage you to check out. Like I said, it's a rescue tool for me, but it has some amazing features.
So my last top five is multi-part.
Okay.
I'm constantly looking for resources for investigating or solving problems. Mm-hmm. Like what's the answer to this question that I come up across, or how do I find information I'm looking for? First thing I do is I Google it. I usually watch a video on it on YouTube. And then if that's not working, I'm moving over to ChatGPT, or now what's really cool is Gemini from Google. I don't know if you've had a chance to check that out, but it is super neat. How it differs from ChatGPT, what I've seen is you could have it like embedded. If you ask the prompt correctly, it can actually create videos and images for you as well. So to me, it's a more powerful ChatGPT, the 3.0 version, not the newer one that you have to pay for. I haven't done the one you had to pay for yet, so I don't know what it has. But Gemini is pretty cool and a good tool for, like, for an example, like one of the prompts I would ask it is, hey, how do you add a VLAN to a Juniper switch? And it would just give you the code, which is super cool.
Amazing.
So I use it for stuff like that all the time.
I think that's what we're going to, like, that might be something we talk about in the future is what are our prompts that we use, you know, because I think that's where there's some real power when we can learn from each other. And that might be a fun, maybe we could post that on the site community and ask people, you know, their best prompts and we could make that part of an episode. That'd be really fun.
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. My last tool is something I use every day, and that's Asana for project management. So it's really great. We map out, you know, our summer projects. And then when it's about this time of year, I just I pull up last year's archive summer project planner and then revive it because, you know, it's Groundhog Day in education. A lot of the times we do things on repeat. So grabbing that is really nice. Good for collaboration. You can track everything. I've used it as an onboarding tool. I think I talked about before, but Asana is just, there's so many ways to use it to keep yourself organized. I also have it as another way as like a rescue tool. So I keep saying that a lot, but you know, things get really busy and you get really into a project and then you kind of abandon the daily work. So if I feel that way, I'll use Asana to write down kind of everything that's on my to-do list, and then I can kind of code it into, you know, I need to do this in the next day, I need to do this in the next week. And then I take it even a step further and go, this is going to take me less than an hour, this is going to take me more than an hour. So I have these like internal shortcuts that I've created to really process and manage things when it gets a little bit overwhelming. So lots of great things for project management, anything. It's amazing.
Wow, it sounds really cool. I'm so excited about this podcast and these little tidbits that I'm going to take away, and I'm going to add these to my toolkit. You had some great ideas, Jamie.
Yes, and you, same for you. I don't engage in networking as often as you do, but I have punched down a couple things in my house when we were finishing up some wiring, and I've tried a couple at the office, not always successfully getting the wires to go where they need to go, but it's good practice. I think that's great. So thanks for sharing everything.
Oh, you're welcome. And I want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast. Thanks to our site podcast producers, Charlie Wofford and Tuta Benitu. You guys are awesome, and thank you very much.
Bye, everyone. See you next time.
Bye.